Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Living Your Life by Design, a conversation of self, health, and wealth. And now, your host, certified career consultant, life coach, and author, Kathy Holloway Hill.
Good evening, everyone. This is Kathy Holloway Hill, and this is the Living by Design radio show. And I hope your April has been wonderful thus far. Can you believe we are already into the month of April? That just goes to show you time is passing by. Whether you're ready for it or whether you're not, it's going to go by anyway. So you might as well prepare and live your life by design. Kathy Holloway Hill is with you for the next 60 minutes. But unfortunately, my wonderful co-host, Mr. Tony Lamont, is under the weather, so I will be flying solo this evening. I'm sure you'll miss him, but he will be back next week, God's willing. So we'll say a prayer for him that he will start to feel better soon. Tonight's topic, actually the month of April and May, the theme for both months will be Get Motivated. Now, I'm sure that everyone hears the word motivation, motivation, motivation all the time. There are motivational speakers. There are motivational books. There are motivational CDs. There are so many motivational resources available out there on the market that we probably don't even need to help you with this topic, right? Wrong. It doesn't matter how many motivational resources are out there. It's still a challenge for lots of people to get motivated. So I have put together a fantastic lineup of guests who are just absolutely phenomenal in the area of motivation. And we're kicking it off with a powerhouse. I mean, a powerhouse. My guest this evening is, I actually learned of her by purchasing one of her CDs. It's a set, actually. It's called If I'm So Special, Why Do I Feel Ordinary? And I purchased that a while ago when I was going through some things in my life that were very big challenges. And it helped so much. It was one of the main catalysts for helping me to actually turn my life around. So I was just diligent in trying to find her. I wanted her to be the one to kick my show off with this theme because she was just phenomenal on that CD set. And Dr. Kimberly, and I want to make sure that I pronounce her name right, Dr. Kimberly Ventus Darks. Okay, Kimberly, you're going to get me when you come on. Dr. Kimberly Ventus Darks. When I bring her on the line, I'm sure she's going to let me know if I said that right or wrong. So I call her Dr. Kimberly, so, you know, I don't pronounce her last name too often. But anyway, her bio is so very extensive. She's an author, a speaker, a motivational guru, and she's obviously a highly sought-after national and international motivational speaker because I found her, because I wanted her. She's an advice columnist for magazines and newspapers throughout the country, and Dr. Kim is the president of her own consulting business, the Dr. Kim Experience, LLC, where she is highly regarded for her profound level of wisdom and intuition, and I can definitely believe that. Being a professor at local universities where she teaches students how to speak with power and confidence is also a great passion for her. She is a radio and television personality, and she holds degrees in social work, healthcare administration, business administration, and a PhD in interpersonal communication and administration with a spiritual emphasis. And I am so, so excited to bring Dr. Kimberly on the line, and I am going to go ahead and open her microphone so she can join us in this powerful motivational discussion. Dr. Kimberly, are you there?
I am here, Kathy. Thank you so much. I'm here.
Oh, great. I'm so happy to have you. Now, Did I
Thank
pronounce
you.
Your last name right or wrong?
You know what? Actually, you did perfect. Most people mess it all up, Kathy, but you were perfect. Dr. Kimberly Ventis-Darkson. You can just call me Dr. Kim. That's perfect. That's easy. And I'll answer to just about anything, Kathy. Believe me. But
you're such
Dr. Kim. Dr. Kim is probably easier than Dr. Kimberly. So,
yes.
But thank you. Thank you for inviting me. Thank you, Kathy.
Well, like I said, Dr. Kim, I just had to have you because I was going through quite a few things in my life during that time. I'm not sure when that CD set came out. When did that come out?
That's been out probably for at least like 3 or 4 years. That's not
yes.
my newest one, if I'm so special. That's not my most recent one, but about 3 or 4 years ago. Yeah, I'm
mm-hmm.
glad that was a blessing to you. I'm
Y'all
glad that it was.
Yes.
Thank
yes.
you.
It was excellent. And there is no doubt, I mean, I'm going to give your website out several times before we're done with this conversation
Thank you.
Tonight because you are such a blessing to the world. You are a blessing to me. And I was just going to move heaven and earth to find you to open my my theme for this month
Thank
and next
you.
Month. Yes, but I absolutely
you,
have to have you. So welcome.
Thank you so much, Kathy. Thank you for inviting me.
Now, if you have anything that you would like to, before we get into our Q&A session here, is there anything special going on with you, any events coming up or anything that you want to announce or let our listeners know?
Oh, that's nice. I have a new book coming out, Kathy, in September. My publisher is looking to have it on the shelves in September, and the title of the book is When You Have Outgrown Him. And so that's a pretty big one, When You Have Outgrown Him. I'm also going to be on tour. It's called the Dr. Kim's Tour, and I'm going to be in about 10 to 15 cities per month. When you give out my website, my schedule is on my website, and I'm going to be touring starting in about a couple of weeks. Starting in April on the Dr. Kim's Tour. So the audience would be able to find out my schedule when they visit my website. So those are the only two things that's needed to be discussed. And you know, so I just invite people to look out for that book again in September, When You Have Outgrown Him, which is very, very good. It's a very, very good book. And then also if they would like to see me and have me for a full day, it would be a blessing. And I would love to just, you know, be with your audience and just share anything that I've got and also learn from them. So that would be a blessing.
Excellent. Now, I just put your website in my chat room. We have several people that listen in via the chat room, and then we have people
uh-huh.
who listen in via the phone lines, and we have people who listen in via the download. So I have just tons of listeners from many different ways to listen. So
Good.
Is your website www.drkimspeaks.com?
That's exactly it, Kathy, D-R-K-I-M Speaks, S-P-E-A-K-S.com, drkimspeaks.com. That's right, Kathy.
Perfect. Perfect. Excellent. So it's in the chat room, and now for everyone who's listening via the phone lines and who will come and listen via the downloads, then you will all know what the website is. So please visit her website because she is absolutely phenomenal. Now, Dr. Kim, I am kicking off my Get Motivated theme for – now, I'm making this 2 months, and the only reason I'm making it the theme for the month of April and May is because this seems to be – an area that people
mm-hmm.
just struggle with.
Mm-hmm.
There is so much struggle with
mm-hmm.
finding a way to motivate yourself. And I know there's a lot of factors that go into that. And, you know, people,
mm-hmm.
they have goals, and I have things I want to do, and I just can't get myself up. I just can't get moving, and I just don't know what to do. So just
mm-hmm.
starting right off the bat, what are some simple tips that you can give to people to just begin the process to try to get themselves up off the couch and motivated?
You know, Kathy, that question seems simple, but I tell you what, it's really complex.
Oh, I
know
it.
And it is. It's a complex question, Kathy, because we do live in a society where most of the people that we're around are very unmotivated. They talk a big talk, but they do very little. And I think that that is the norm in our society. And I think that oftentimes when you see someone that's really a mover, a shaker, motivated, high energy, that especially depending on your age and the younger they are, a lot of times the more unattractive it becomes. I mean, even if you think about it, many of our young people, I mean, it's just almost a style to be lazy, to sit down in your chair, to have no motivation, to walk slow, act slow, be slow. It's almost a style. And then when you have someone that is motivated and energized and full of vision, they're almost unaccepted. They're on the outside. They're freakish. Something's wrong with them. They're fake. That's the word that you hear a lot. That's fake, F-A-K-E. And so then after high school, it's that same spirit of being lackadaisical, laid back, nothing bothers me, everything's okay. We live in that. And I think that it does become our norm, is what we see. We live it every day. Even a lot of times in our companies, Kathy, people say that they want highly motivated people with a whole lot of vision. But then when you go in your company and you're talking about motivation and vision, a lot of times they really don't want you coming in there interrupting what's already been done. And they really, 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 really don't want somebody with an extreme amount of energy. So we say we want it, but oftentimes we don't want it. And I think that when it comes to really motivating yourself, you have to understand that if you become one of the ones, one of the peculiar ones that's motivated, then what's going to end up happening is that you are going to be unique. You are going to be peculiar. You are going to stand out. You might be alone a whole lot. There will be people that will not understand you, and you will become the minority. And I think that that's why that question is such a complex question, because then you need to question your own self-confidence. Do I have confidence enough to endure the fact that I might be on the outside? Other people may not understand me. I might be somewhat ridiculed. I will be looked at as being really different than everybody else. Do I really want to be different in that way? Some people may see my energy as being negative. So I think that a lot of that is, what we see on a regular basis is not what we can be. And many of us, we learn to be relaxed. We learn to be just normal. And then all of a sudden when we get older, we're like, I want to do something, but a lot of times we don't know how, because we have learned and it's become a habit to be normal. And so when you talk about really setting goals, really being a mover and shaker, we don't know how because we never learned how. And I think that one of the most important things you can do, if you want to be a person that's really about getting something done, you're going to have to sacrifice your time. You're going to have to really, really get up early. You're going to have to do something different than what you are currently doing. Whatever you're doing, and if you're not getting it done, you're going to have to change something in order to actually get it done. And you might also want to be around, hang around, and socialize around other motivated people, and to be very protective with the people that you are around. If the majority of the people in that you're around is average, with the average mindset, and nothing's wrong with them, they just have an average set of an average vision, yet you want to be above average, then you might need to hang around and be around above average people. Right. And so that's the whole thing. So whereas being motivated and really, really consistently getting things done in your life, it is not a comfortable experience. And I think a lot of times we look for something to be comfortable, common, and accepted. And I think that when we're really talking about really making some life changes, it's none of those three things.
Yeah,
I hope I answered your question.
Yeah, it was absolutely phenomenal. I just wrote down, I was writing so much as you were speaking, because I wanted to comment about several things that you touched on that were just so right on. First one I want to comment about is what you stated about society dictating the fact that we settle for mediocrity. That's what I described it as. We, and I totally agree with that. for whatever reason, there something has happened in our world, mm-hmm. in our society, that encourages us to settle for mediocrity. That, mm-hmm. you know, you can't go beyond, here's your ceiling, and that's it. Mm-hmm. Once you get your corporate job, you're done, mm-hmm. you're in, you can't mm-hmm. do anything better than that. So just sit still, be happy, and if you try to move beyond that, you're fake, as you described it.
Right, right.
And society, and I don't know why society dictates that.
And I don't either. And I think that the danger and the and I hope that this is not taken out of context, but the evilness starts oftentimes in our young people, even in high school, I don't think that maybe when I was in high school, Kathy, maybe it wasn't like it is now, but I do see such it's a style to be laid back. It is cool to take it easy, to be laid back, to not care. And then when you find someone that's walking fast, talking fast, got some vision, hey, let's do this, then all of a sudden they are a lot of times looked at as being fake. And then of course it's okay to be different when it's in a positive way, but when you're different and it's a negative thing, most people don't want to do that. So many times we lose our young people, and then they become like everyone else. And then maybe when it's a little bit more safe to be motivated and high energy, they're not sure quite how to, because they have gotten into a habit. And even a lot of times in our adult life, it still is frowned on. I have seen so many times, Kathy, in my adult life, where I would see, you know, somebody just motivated, just turned on, you know, just turned on, and other adults, I don't like him, I don't like her, look at her, and it's just people don't like you, not especially when they are average. And I think that, you know, again, when we talk about really being motivated, really making a difference, really setting yourself apart, really changing the world, it is not a comfortable experience. And it's not one that most people will understand. You will be alone most of the time. And your family will probably be the first one to reject you. And I think that so when we talk about that topic, it is a complex one. And I think that we don't realize, you know, we don't realize how deep it actually is.
Yes, that's right. And I do believe, Dr. Kim, that one of the first most critical aspects of living your life mm-hmm. is to know what you want and know why you want it. Because a lot of people mm-hmm. they think they want something, but they have no idea why they want it. They want it because their mm-hmm. friends want it. Or they want mm-hmm. it because their parents have convinced them that they should have it, or they don't. You have. I think your why is just as important, or maybe even more so important mm-hmm. than your mm-hmm. what.
You know, that's a good point, Kathy. And I think that just to piggyback off of what you said, know what you want and know why you want it. It is so important that when you talk about goal setting and your vision and your life plan for your life, that you have a sense of direction as far as what your gifts are. What is it that you've been called to do? What is it that is natural for you? What is it that you are automatically a success in when you have not been trained to be? And then when you tap into that, then you automatically know that you will be a success when you tap into your own special gift, and that you really can't be copied because it is your gift. And I think that a lot of times we run after things because it might be popular, or run after things because it might pay a lot, or run after things because everybody else is doing it. But I think that we first need to tap into, what is my gift? What am I naturally good at? What is my blessing? Because usually our blessing is also our curse. Usually the very thing that we're good at is also the very thing that we are ridiculed for.
That's very, very profound.
Thank you.
And I also think that because you mentioned that, you know, we begin a certain way in our childhood, and then, you know, it just mm-hmm. follows us right on into adulthood. And I think mm-hmm. that's where that comfort zone thing comes into play, because when our beliefs are toxic, and, you know, mm-hmm. we all have our issues from childhood, mm-hmm. whether it's a dysfunctional mm-hmm. family or being teased in school or being teased in the neighborhood, or we just don't fit mm-hmm. in for whatever reason because I was too mm-hmm. tall and I was too skinny.
Right.
Whatever the reason is in our childhood, it affects our beliefs. And then when those beliefs are established, then we encounter life along the way and failed relationships and job loss and health issues and all those other things, financial struggles, and all that
right.
stuff adds to it, and then it just really pushes us into a very toxic way of developing beliefs, and we feel like we can't accomplish anything. So we just want to be accepted and appreciated by other people because we don't accept and appreciate ourselves.
Well, and I really cannot stress enough what you just said as far as really people want to be accepted. That's one of the top three things that people want. And when it comes to, and I do talk a lot, especially with this topic, I do talk a lot about high school. I've got to, because a lot of this starts there.
That's
number
right.
one thing we want when we are growing teenagers is to be accepted by other people.
Right.
So
right.
so what ends up happening is that when we realize that what innately in us is the very thing that other people reject, then you're exactly right. We don't like ourselves. Then we're trying to deny who we really are. Then our self-confidence is low. So, I mean, acceptance is you know, I mean, absolutely. And, Kathy, I mean, we've heard so much recently of bullying, you know, just the serious bullying and people committing suicide because of
yes.
being bullied, committing
yes.
suicide because they're not accepted, committing suicide because they weren't liked. I mean, I think that, you know, I've been bullied maybe a little bit. You talked a little bit about you being thin and tall. I'm sure that some people weren't very nice to you. But isn't it interesting how I think that with us when we were growing up, we were able to shake that off a little bit better. I mean, it was just whatever, you know. But now kids, that what they want to be accepted. And as adults, we want to be accepted. And it just, it grows with us. We want to be accepted. We say that we don't care, Kathy, but we really do care.
We do. We do.
Yeah,
we do. Really
do. We do.
And back in our day, Dr. Kim, you know, you're right. We would shake it off, or either we would go find other children that were rejects, and we would just all band together. But
right,
the kids today,
right.
for whatever reason, they don't accept it. They go get guns and start shooting up
oh,
the place.
Oh, Lord.
I know.
Oh,
and
oh,
it's just,
oh.
It's
right.
just a bad
yeah.
mindset. It's,
oh,
just
it's a horrible,
mindset.
Because I think, and I know I'm interrupting you, and I'm sorry,
that's
Kathy.
Okay.
But,
no, you're passionate about it. I understand.
Okay, well, yeah. And I've got a problem with interrupting people anyway, so please forgive me.
That's
but,
okay.
yes, you're exactly right, to whereas, you know, nowadays people aren't afraid of anything anymore. You know, I mean, you know, we would have a fight, you know, and then go home and probably with best friends after 3 or 4 days. It's just, it wasn't that big of a thing. You know, you hit somebody in the face and shovel and wrestle down on the floor, and that was the end of it. Now it's about killing. It's about suicide. It's about a conclusion. And I just think when we talk about motivation, you know, a lot of times, even in adults, you know, we're fearful of failure. We really don't believe we could do it anyway. We live in a very microwave society. 1, 2, 3, there you go. 1, 2, 3, home run. If it's not real quick, we don't want to take the time to make things happen. You know, we look at other successful people and we assume that it just came to them, and we don't know the years and years and years of struggling and the years and years and years of rejection. You know, and it's just really, really sad. Everything is right now, you know, from how we can go to the ATM and get money to how fast we can get a loan approved. And all of that, when it comes to our motivation and what we end up accomplishing in our life, has very much been impacted by the rest of our world and how fast everything comes to us. But when it comes to motivation and when it comes to goals, the bottom line is that's very unrealistic and it's not true.
Mhm. Mhm. And I like what you said about the microwave society, because I mean, I have so many clients that, and for whatever reason, and I'm going to use this example because mm-hmm. I know everybody can relate to this example. The weight loss industry is a multi-billion mm-hmm. dollar industry. A multi-billion mm-hmm. dollar industry, because people would rather buy pills, meals,
mm-hmm.
and surgery
mm-hmm.
instead of doing the only thing that will
mm-hmm.
stick as far as weight loss is a lifestyle change. That's the only thing that is guaranteed to keep the weight off. But they would rather spend billions of dollars on gadgets and gimmicks because they want it now. They want to take a pill and get it quick, and it's going to come right back. The weight's going to come right back, but they would rather believe that it will stay off. That right there shows you we live in a rush, hurry-up society.
Well, and I was even thinking of, you know, today there was a show on to where they talked about and I hope it's okay to mention The Biggest Loser, the show that's on, I believe, on Tuesday and Wednesday nights, to whereas, you know, they are, you know, Jillian, one of the trainers talked about how the participants really do exercise 8 hours per day, you know, and how some of the people in the audience are like, well, that's unrealistic. You know, I've got a job, I've got a life, you know, working out 8 hours per day. And then she was like, yeah, but they are losing 100 pounds in like 7 weeks. And I remember just thinking to myself, 100 pounds in 7 weeks, you know, I mean, just on one aspect, I guess that's a blessing, but on the other aspect of just how unrealistic, and again, going back to that microwave society, to whereas right now, got to have it now, and then when you leave The Biggest Loser, you know, I mean, and then you have to go back to working every day. You know, and then you're good. You're good if you're able to get in a half an hour workout, you know, every other day. Then it's
and
just,
The Biggest Loser doesn't care about that. They care about their ratings.
No.
They care about their show. And they don't care about when the person goes back home. It's up to us. It's up to that individual to create new habits. You've got to work into your schedule, whether it's a 30 minutes every other day or
– right.
an hour once a week or whatever it is, and diet, food changes, your food choices have to change.
Right.
So that's why I say it's a lifestyle change. It's not just, you know, on TV for ratings, because we know that show, it's one of those reality shows, is very popular
right
now. And they're doing what they're doing, and that's great, but you still have to maintain it. And I'm going to go right back again to the only way to maintain it is to make a lifestyle change.
Well, you know, that's interesting because I try to work out, you know, I mean, I'm pretty, when I work out, I give it all I've got. And, you know, talking about motivating and looking silly and being the outside person, people are just staring like, oh my gosh, does it take all that? But it's real interesting that, you know, I usually get up about 5 or 5:30 when I'm not traveling, because most of the time I'm traveling. But when I am home, I usually get up about 5 or 5:30, and I work out in the morning. And I really don't have to get up. I mean, I don't have to get – I'm a morning person anyway, Kathy, but I don't have to get up. I mean, but I do, because I find that when I do it in the morning – that is the best time for me, you know, and it's just it works for me. And then today, I'm not traveling this week, so today I told myself that I had a stomach ache this morning. I had set the alarm for like 5:15, and I was like, you know, I have a stomach ache. And I was like, do you really? You know, and I wasn't sure if it was all in my head, you know, and then I was like, you know, and I knew that I could work out if I wanted to, but I did not want to get a bigger belly ache. And so then about 11 o'clock, I went and I worked out, and I was like, Kim, you know, good for you. And it was a pretty good workout. I mean, I burned about 397 calories in about 22 minutes. And so I was pretty happy with that. And so I was like, you know, you don't feel any worse now. You may not feel good, but you don't feel any worse now. But that's what, and as far as weight loss, our goals, our just motivation, our just life planning, I find that whatever you're doing, you're going to have to do something different than what you're doing in order to get a better result. You know, and I think that you've probably heard me say that if you always do what you've always done, then you will always get what you have always got. And if you want something that you've never had, then you need to do something that you've never done. If you always think the way that you've always thought, then you'll always get what you have always got, and only you can answer for yourself if what you are getting is enough. And again, you know, it just comes down
to your CD set was the first time I had heard that, and when you said that, it made me sit up and take notice, and I have been following
wow.
you ever since. And it's true. To this day, it still applies.
Oh, it does. And like I said, it's a blessing to have some boundaries in your life. And it's a blessing to look at life and just say, you know, I'm going to draw my own path, and I'm going to make the most out of it. And I'm going to really live. I'm going to really, really, really live. And like I said, I mean, it could be weight loss. It could be starting a business. It could be life planning. It could be whatever you want it to be. But we have been blessed that God is a God of choice, you know, and we really can make our life what we want out of it. And
that's
it
right.
really does begin with us. It really does,
yeah,
Kathy.
It really, truly does. And once we can determine what we want and why we want it, and that why, if that why is powerful and strong enough, that will be your motivation. Because when you are committed to a goal,
mm-hmm.
you will do whatever it takes. If you're interested in a goal, you'll just do what's convenient. But when you're committed,
right.
you will do whatever it takes. And I want to talk a little bit about the comment you made about the people, because that was one of the notes I wrote down here
okay.
about the people that just the naysayers. And once you do determine that you have a goal and you want to do this, and the naysayers and the jealous people who just want to tear down your dream, how do you nicely, as you can, rid
mm-hmm.
yourself of toxic friends?
Well, you know what? The bottom line is, number one, you don't tell dream killers your dreams anyway. You know, you protect your dream. And if it's a dream, it's not in what you say anyway. It's in what you do. And I find that people that go around talking about what they're going to do usually don't do very much anyway. So, so there's a whole lot to that, you know. I mean, it's not in what you say, it's in what you do. If you go around talking about it, you're probably just a bunch of talk. And you find that, you know, you don't tell your dream to dream killers, number one. You know, and so there's so much there. I find that when you can learn those type of concepts, and you learn to quiet your spirit, and you learn to sit back and watch other people's spirit before you open up to them anyway, then you don't have to worry about toxic people. You don't have to worry about being around a bunch of people that you really shouldn't be around, because you've never opened up yourself to them anyway, and they wouldn't be attracted to you anyhow.
And, you know, I'm going to add to that, because this actually happened to me, and
mm-hmm.
I really didn't understand it at first, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, the Bible says you'll understand it better by and by. And I did
mm-hmm.
start to understand it better, because as I started to transition into what I'm doing now, which
mm-hmm.
it's actually always been my gift, but I
mm-hmm.
tried to resist it for so many years
mm-hmm.
because I wanted to
mm-hmm.
be in corporate America in technology, because it paid a lot of money, and I thought money
mm-hmm.
was the way to be happy, which it was not,
mm-hmm.
because I had tons
mm-hmm.
of that, but I was miserable.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway,
mm-hmm.
once I did the transition and I started to change on the inside,
mm-hmm.
and I started
mm-hmm.
to realize my purpose and start living in, start being very positive and creating positive energy around me, people actually start dropping out on their own. I didn't have to do anything.
Right. I mean, to whereas I find that absolutely. And it's just like, you know, I mean, and I try really hard, Kathy, as well as I'm sure you do too. You know, I try to love everybody. But
I do.
Just because I love you don't mean I'm going to expose myself to you. Just
right.
because I love you don't mean that I'm going to share that my inner secrets with you.
Right.
You know, sometimes I've learned how to be in a conversation with someone and not really tell them hardly anything at all about you.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you can have a full-blown conversation, and they'll be the one doing the talking, and it's not coming from you.
Yep.
And so I have learned to be protective over the people that I share my time with.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the very least that I can do for me. Because one thing I'm sure you've heard me say is that we teach people how to treat us
yes,
by
ma'am.
What we will accept from them. And if we accept it, then it's our issue and not their issue. Why? Because we are grown.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the bottom line. And I just find that, you know, most people don't change. Can people change? Absolutely. But do most people change? No, they don't. And that when you in your 60s and you still, you know, well, this person get on my nerves and I don't like this person, you're going to be like that the rest of your life.
And that's sad.
And it's the truth. And I just find that. I find that the best predictor of what's going to happen in the future is what has happened in the past, period.
That's true.
And I think that, you know, I don't spend my time trying to motivate. I mean, I'm pretty motivational anyway, and I don't hold back, but I don't spend a lot of time on people that don't. Everybody don't want to be motivated. Everybody
yeah.
don't want to do better. Everybody
right.
don't want to see the vision and live better. Everybody don't want the best thing for their life. Many times in relationships, people will say, you know, gosh, she's such a good thing for him. Well, everybody don't want the best thing they can get.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I find. And if you don't, it's none of my business anyway. But most people are where they are because they want to be.
And
let me just say this real quick, and I don't know that that's real motivational, but it's the truth. And are there exceptions? Yes, there are, Kathy. There's exceptions, but by the time you get our age, it's nobody else's fault. I'm not going to blame my mama. I'm not going to blame my past. I'm not going to blame what my father wasn't. I've got enough in me, and God has provided enough for me, that if I really, really wanted to change things around, I could and I would.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you said that, you know, a lot of people don't want to be better and they don't want – and you know, that – I mean, it's a sad fact, but it is a fact.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
that
it
they
is.
Attract to themselves what they have on the inside of them, and what's on the inside is so toxic that they keep
mm-hmm.
attracting that same – toxic stuff that they have inside of them to them.
Well, and some people are just simply addicted to chaos.
Yes.
Some people are addicted to mess and drama and chaos.
Drama,
and
sad,
if they don't
depression.
Have, yeah.
Yep.
And if they don't have that, they don't know what to do.
Yep.
You know, and that's just how, and it's not up to me to dissect. It's not up to me to judge. All I can say is that you can see it from far away. And I will respect you, and I'll be kind to you, but you will never be in my inner circle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's just the bottom line. We need to establish some boundaries. And just because you are my mother, it doesn't mean that you know how to be.
That's right. That's right.
And it just comes down to that many times our own family are the ones that we're the least closest to.
Mm-hmm.
It's just after a while, you just start learning this thing. And you start saying, you know, Father, you're all I need. You know, and if I get more, good. But if not, it is well with me.
Because you start looking at people
based on their level of maturity. Yep. And you realize that even if they are 60 years old, if they stop maturing at 12, then they will treat you like a 12-year-old. And that is the bottom line. And, again, I don't know that that's motivational, but I know that it's the truth. And I
well,
think
you,
that when
you
start
absolutely
seeing
have to
the
tell
truth,
the truth before you can
oh, you,
even pull any motivational
Oh, you have to be real. You're exactly right, Kathy. You've got to be real with the truth so that you don't depend on other people to motivate you. And you realize that, look, everything I need, I've got inside of me. You got to first deal with the truth. But then because if you're going around expecting, you know, your sister to jump on the bandwagon and your best friend to encourage you, I mean, I hope that happens. But if not, we need to be able to say, you know, she's probably only doing the best that she knows how to do, because although she's 38, she's really just 13. And I'm not dogging her, and I'm not talking about her, but it is a reality that her maturity level is at the level of a 13-year-old. Therefore, I cannot expect her to run with my vision. And it's not up to her anyway, because it's not her vision, it's mine.
Right. And your family and friends, I mean, you know, I heard my pastor say this, that, you know, your skin folk ain't always your kin folk.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
They're not. So, and we've got to understand that what you want for your life, it's up to you.
It really is.
It's up to you to get, because when I made my transition out of corporate America, mm-hmm. everybody, family, mm-hmm. friends, everybody thought I was crazy. And
I bet they did.
Committed. And, you know, you want to what? You want to start your own business and leave
right.
that six-figure income? Are you crazy? Well,
yes.
You know what? Maybe I am crazy, but I am crazy about my dream and my passion.
Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome?
Yes,
and, mm-hmm. and it's like, you know, I remember today and when you talk about you leaving your corporate job and you were like, yeah, maybe I am crazy, but I'm crazy about my vision. You know, I just learned, Kathy, to be grateful in all things. You know, it's like, you know, if you're crazy, it's like, Father, thank you for making me crazy.
That's right.
And thank you for giving me vision. And thank you for giving me enough faith to walk out on it. And that's a big one. I mean, you did a big one. But today, when I went to work out at 11 o'clock, which is really late for me, and I told myself that I didn't have a stomach ache, I was like, thank you for giving me the motivation to work out today. So whereas I don't care how big or I don't care how small, it is a blessing to be at a state in your life to where I don't care if it's sweeping the kitchen floor, I thank you. Because I realize that motivation is coming from somewhere, and I don't got it all within myself. But I can look to you to give me what I need, and I thank you.
That's right.
And so it doesn't matter how big or how small, to whereas, you know, you're right. You know, people, I'm sure they did think you were crazy, Kathy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it's like, you know, and I have done some crazy things, too. I mean, I've left some good jobs and didn't have anything. And unlike you, I didn't have no vision. I didn't have any plan. I just felt like I heard a voice saying it's time for me to leave my job, and I left it knowing that at the time that we really could not afford for me to leave and that we probably would leave everything and lose everything, but I did it anyway. And it's like one thing it did, it made me not fear anything. It made me not be fearful. And the other thing that it did, it's like I may not have understood it, but it just confirmed even more I like me. I like who I am. And as crazy as people thought you were when you left that corporate job, there had to have been something in you, Kathy, to where you were just, I like me. I like
mm-hmm.
me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, because you know that whatever you're seeing up in you is so unique, different, and peculiar. And that you are just set apart. You're just not like anyone else, not supposed to be, that you will deal in the crazy. You will deal in the craziness of this world. And it's just like, I like me. You know, I like me. You know, and I think you've heard me say, Kathy, I don't say hi to you for you to say hi to me. I say hi to you because I need to like me. So if I say hi to you and you don't say hi to me back, it doesn't take my joy, it doesn't take my peace, because I'm not saying hi to you for you, I'm saying hi to you because I need to like me.
That's right.
And I'm glad you said that.
I want to jump in here because this is it's very critical to what you just said. When we talk about forgiving someone for something they've done to us, forgiveness
mm-hmm.
is for you, not the other person.
Oh, it is. Oh, it is. It is.
You just stated when you say hi, forgiveness is for you to cleanse your toxic emotions.
And it's sometimes forgiving them is the only way that you can release them emotionally.
Right.
It's the only way you can, because when you don't forgive them, then emotionally you're taking them home with you.
Right.
And
then they have control over you.
Oh, they do.
You're giving them control.
Absolutely. And then mentally they're cooking dinner with you. And
that's
then mentally
right.
they're in the bed with you at night.
Right.
And then more than likely the person that you brought home with you mentally, their value in your life is probably only a 1 or a 2. They're not that important. But then they become a 10 because you can't release them emotionally. And then your 10s
right.
at home become a 2 because you can't forgive. It is not worth it. It's not worth it. But when you start looking at people based on their level of maturity, then you're able to shake that off and you're able to understand. It's like, I can understand my mother and why she treats me the way that she does, because I realize that my mother is only 14 years old. And that's why she's doing the best she can do. And then when you start looking at that, you're like, she's 14 and had four kids. She's 14 and was still kind of able to keep it together. Then you start appreciating what she did. Like, she did good. It's not as bad as I thought. She's not as crazy as I thought she was. In fact, you start becoming appreciative, and you start recognizing what she could have been, given that she is 14 with four kids. When you start looking at people based on their maturity level, it will allow you to be able to release it and let it go. By the way, I have a CD called Release It and Let It Go. It's on my website, drkimspeaks.com. But yes, because it's so important, Kathy, that we keep our twos our twos and our tens our tens.
And you know what, Dr. Kim, as I stated, I think I mentioned it earlier, we have people who join us in the chat room and then people who listen in via the phone lines and then download the show. But there is I'm not sure if this is a young lady or a young man. Are you a lady or a man? But anyway, this individual in the chat room says they're asking a question, and I want to make sure I get this question
in.
They had a six-year relationship. Had a six-year relationship end over betrayal, and it's hard to forgive because the person never received an apology. They've been out of work for over a year, lost their job, can't find a job to make ends meet. Everyone wants to pay too low. Okay, so that's just part of the problem. But the main thing is that they never received an apology, so it's very difficult for them to forgive because I guess they need an apology for closure. Oh,
sure,
she's a lady.
Sure.
She says she's a lady. She's 45.
Okay.
She didn't have to tell
okay.
Your age.
Okay.
That's okay.
Bless her heart.
I know. You didn't have to tell your age. It's okay.
Are you able to talk to her? I mean,
she doesn't have a phone. I did go ahead and put in the chat room if you want to dial in, but she doesn't have a phone.
Okay, that's okay. Let me say this. Very quickly, I know that we don't have a whole lot of time yet
right
left,
but 10 minutes.
You know, one thing that I try to say is that when people show you who they are, believe them the first time. The first time. I would imagine, and maybe I'm wrong, and maybe this was just one circumstance or what have you. But I would imagine that when we talk about betrayal, it was 6 years, a long time, that the betrayal had signs and signals and warnings way before the actual closure of the relationship. I work with so many people, and I'm like, I can't believe she talked to you that way, or I can't believe you would accept this, or, you know, I mean, to whereas, you just see that the ending is just not going to be good. When we talk about forgiveness, I so much understand to whereas never got an apology, so it's really hard to forgive. Yeah. Well, you know, that's really interesting because when we talk about people not giving an apology, we really are looking at the character of that person.
And that's one thing I put in the chat room that, you know, that the forgiveness is for her. Not that guy. I mean, God's going to take care of him. God's going to take care of anybody that you know, just drops out like that. And betrayal on top of no apology. So there's a couple of things going on there, betrayal and no apology.
Well, I would think that even if it wasn't betrayal in the 6 months or 6 years, that it might have been a lack of respect, a lack of treating her special, a lack of this, a lack of keeping his word. I guarantee you there were other things going on to whereas she questioned or maybe settled for things that she should not have. I would like to give a technique about forgiveness. I would like to share with the person in the chat room and the other listening audience about forgiveness and just a technique. She mentioned that she's 45, and thank you for being at a beautiful age. Good for you. Mm-hmm. But I would imagine that this person that she was in a relationship with, and I may be very wrong about this, but let's assume that he has children. Now, I'm not sure if she's close to his children or not, but let's assume, it doesn't really matter if she is or not, but what I would do, if she cannot, let me say this in a different way. Kathy, if I was upset with you, let's say that you and I were best friends and something happened and we ended our relationship and it was just ugly.
Mm-hmm.
Kathy, even if you never apologized to me, let's say that you were at fault, you never apologized to me, even if I can't forgive you, Kathy, I could pray for your children. I don't even know your children, Kathy, but
right.
I can sit here on the phone right now and I'm speaking truth from my heart. If you have a daughter, I hope and I pray that she will be protected,
mm-hmm.
and that she will make good decisions,
mm-hmm.
and that she will be safe, and that she will walk in her God-given purpose,
mm-hmm.
and that she will be able to live in her complete joy, mm-hmm. and that God will put a hedge around her life to where she will just live in a hedge of protection and a hedge of security, and that if she is a mother or if she's going to be, that she will find herself being a unique mother, a beautiful mother, a special mother. Kathy, I can sit here being very upset with you without able to forgive you, and I could pray and speak good thoughts in the life of your children and really, really mean it. And if I do that consistently, maybe once a day, every other day, every time I thought about you and every time I felt betrayed by you, I would speak and pray for your children. Eventually, I would end up forgiving you through your children.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I have learned to do that with the people that I have been the most hurt by, to where even if I can't forgive you, I can pray with all that I've got in me and speak good thought and goodwill towards your children or your grandchildren and pray that they will make a difference in this world and that they will be protected and guarded and loved.
That's right.
And you wouldn't have anything really to do with it, but if I did that enough, every time I felt your betrayal, every time I felt anger towards you, I pray for your children, within no time, I would find myself automatically forgiving you.
That's right.
That's a technique that I use. But you first have to really want to forgive that person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes I have been in a situation where I'm not ready to forgive and I don't want to forgive. I don't want to pray for their kids. And I'm just like, but Kim, when you can't sleep at night, and when you can't shake it off of you, and when you're putting energy into this person and they're not thinking about you, you better do something.
Mm-hmm.
Because like this person in your chat room, she's obvious. It's about mind over the matter. And if you don't mind, then it doesn't matter. He obviously still matters, or else she wouldn't have brought it up. And
oh,
when
absolutely.
She's going around,
she's hurt.
Right. And if she's going around being hurt, more than likely he's not thinking of her.
Right. And that's what
and
one
that's
of the things
the,
I told her in the
problem.
Chat room,
right.
She still has the ball and chain around her ankle. He's long gone.
Yes.
You've got to let go of what's already gone.
Pray for his kids. If he doesn't have any, pray for his future kids.
Yeah, he doesn't have any kids. She said he didn't have any kids.
Pray for his future kids.
But he's out there spreading his venom with
mm-hmm.
other unsuspecting individuals. I feel sorry for those individuals, but I told her, get on your knees, thank God and praise God and thank you, Jesus, for allowing you to be released from that.
I mean, and what he's doing now and spreading that venom, that's none of her business.
Mm-hmm.
it's not
no,
like a
I
business
that.
Anymore.
I say that. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, okay, all right. Okay, so but right. So whereas what he's doing, the bottle, it is a blessing that she's been released.
It is a big blessing,
and isn't it a blessing that it wasn't 8 years and it wasn't 10 years
okay,
and she didn't
right.
spend 12 years with him.
That's
it's like,
right.
thank God that mm-hmm. it was only 6 years, which was way too long.
That's right.
You know, to whereas, you know, time heals all wounds. It'll get better.
If we, and if we could just, you know, for the young lady in the chat room, if we could just learn to love ourselves more. We talked a lot earlier about people having the strong need to be appreciated and accepted and loved by others. We have to learn to love ourselves. So that
you know,
we can be aware of those red flags and we won't
so
allow
good.
Toxic people in our lives because we will be so filled with self-love and we'll have God inside of us so strongly that we will have our boundaries set.
Well, absolutely, Kathy. And I guarantee you that if he betrayed her after 6 years, during those 6 years he wasn't that good anyway. I guarantee you. You know, one thing that my husband says, which I really appreciate, He feels like he's a expert on relationships. I mean, he is pretty good, but he, you know what he says, and I hope that this will be a blessing to the person in the chat room. He says, if she would like herself, this is what he usually says, and he's not with me right now. He's not in the room that I'm at, so he's not actually saying this to her, but this is what he has said in the past, which is so powerful. He says, if she would like herself more, then she would like him less.
Mm.
And then he would end up liking her more.
Mm.
And he's so right. He's so right. And I'm going to repeat it. If she would like herself more, then she would automatically like him less. And because she likes him less, he would end up liking her more. That's how it goes.
I'm putting this in the chat room because I like that.
That came from my husband. If she would like herself more, then she would automatically like him less because she would be more particular about what she would allow in her life.
I want to tell this young lady in the chat room. I know you're hearing us both talk, and you're probably thinking they're motivational speakers and they have it all together. Honey, there was a time in my life when I know. There was a time in my life I have been in an abusive marriage. I have been through some things, and it was not easy to get out of those things. It was not easy. I mean, I've cleaned up a lot of junk.
Absolutely.
I know how difficult it is, and I know what it is to feel like you're nothing without the person, and I know what those feelings are like. But honey, you can overcome.
And the bottom line is, if you and I hope that the person in the chat room does not feel like she's nothing without that person, because then she would end up having a needy spirit, and then people run away from that. So it's not even about him; it would be more about her.
Right.
I hope that she will be able to find some peace and some comfort in the things that's been said in this past hour.
That's right.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say we're coming up on our last 60 minutes. And, I mean, this has been fabulous, which I knew it would be.
I just knew
it was going to be
so powerful.
And I want to thank you so much for coming on the show tonight and sharing your blessings and your knowledge and your skills and just all of your tools. And Dr. Kim Speaks, I want everyone to know that Dr. Kim's website is www.drkimspeaks.com. And, you know, we've had a great time this evening, and I may even have Dr. Kim back again because an hour is just not long enough. But thank you so much. And I am going to sign off for now, Dr. Kim. Again, thank you again for
God bless
joining
you.
Us.
God bless you. And God bless the lady in the chat room. God bless you, too. Thank you, Kathy, for inviting me. Okay?
Thank you so much. And we are going to see you guys next week. My co-host will be back with us. for another episode of Living by Design. Have a blessed week, everyone, and always, always pray and say your affirmations. Good night.